Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. If your home or business has pests, don't stress it. Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. Trump has already won his presidential immunity case beginning today at the Supreme Court. I don't mean they're actually going to make up an unconstitutional, nonsensical, political science fiction thing called presidential immunity. In fact, as I'll explain in a moment, the last thing they or Trump want is actual presidential immunity. No, to do its part in Trump's cover-up of his January 6th treason, the Supreme Court only has to do this: pretend, just like Trump is pretending, that the concept of maybe there is presidential immunity is just plausible enough that it has to be debated and adjudicated. And they've already done that. The Samuel Alito conspiracy to delay justice, to save Trump, and to try to fix the election in his favor this November, this confidence trick by anti-American scumbags like Alito and Clarence Thomas and Trump's three concierge justices and lower court judges has helped to keep Jack Smith's prosecution of Trump for his coup attempt frozen in place since December 13th. Trial was supposed to have begun on the 4th of last month. We should be 53 days deep into this thing. But Trump came up, or somebody smarter than Trump came up, with something ridiculous, yet not too ridiculous, and his bought and paid for theocratic rubber stamp justices could then say, good enough, we can make something out of this crap. They are the Supreme Court, and as long as death or resignation are the only ways to remove their members, Trump could have used almost anything to achieve what he has already achieved. He could have argued that he can't be prosecuted because of presidential immunity, or he could have argued that he can't be prosecuted because first he deserved a commission to investigate whether he really lost in 2020, and thus maybe he can't be prosecuted because he's still president. Or he could have argued that God wants him not to testify, and thus the case cannot proceed until they get a deposition from God. Which flavor of bullshit Trump is feeding the justices and the nation doesn't matter, so long as it is typed up in the form of a submission to the court. But this stain on democracy, the John Roberts Court, can go even further now in colluding and conspiring with Trump. Most of the coverage anticipating oral arguments has been binary. The court is going to will presidential immunity into existence out of thin air, or the court is not going to do that. In point of fact, the best outcome for Trump now is none of the above. If the court takes just its ordinary length of time on a case like this, it doesn't have to say a word about this before the 30th of June. It can ice this trial for another 2 full months and not even look as corrupt as it actually is. Just that timeline. It's June 30th. Here's our ruling. Oh, there is no presidential immunity. Just having Clarence Thomas sit his fat, useless ass on the scales of justice for the normal length of delay time, and there's no way the election subversion case can get to the jury before the election. If Trump loses, he wins. But if that's not enough, and trust me, Trump has gotten the message through to these useless, gutless fascists that it is not enough, if Trump wants them to not only delay the case but destroy it, the court can look at the case and not say there is presidential immunity, nor say there is no presidential immunity, but to say instead, maybe there is. And we need to find out if it applies here. We have studied this carefully, Sam Alito can lie, and we have decided that there is a litmus test needed to determine whether or not presidents might have criminal immunity for what they have crimed while in office. And that test ain't person, woman, man, camera, TV. It's 167 different points. And before Judge Tanya Chutkan may resume her little naive attempt to preserve democracy and to put criminals behind bars, she has to apply this litmus test we just made up out of whole cloth to everything in the indictments of Trump gotten by the special counsel. She has to take this new presidential immunity quiz, maybe even seek expert testimony in her own court, to everything in the Trump indictment before she can even begin the actual trial. And guess when the actual trial would start then? You're right. It wouldn't. It wouldn't unless Joe Biden is reelected. So as I said, Trump has already won at the Supreme Court because this is rigged and this is fixed. And we know the names of the people doing the rigging and the fixing, and they are doing so in plain sight. And their names are Samuel Alito and Amy Barrett and Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh and John Roberts and Clarence Thomas, and may they burn in hell. And there is not a goddamned thing we can do about them. And no, there's no Mike Johnson with a brief and transient burst of conscience riding to democracy's rescue today. And there is not even a realistic scenario in which the Supreme Court metaphorically shoots itself in the foot and metaphorically shoots Trump in the face and says, well, yes, there is presidential immunity. And there's also a Santa Claus. And there are brownies and elves and UFOs and John F. Kennedy is alive. Because as I said before, the last thing, the court, or the Republicans, or the fascists, or Trump want, is for there to be actual presidential immunity. Because if come June 30th, they declare it really is extant, there really is presidential immunity. If that happens on June 30th, then Joe Biden is smart. The first thing he would do is arrest and detain Alito and Barrett and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Roberts and Thomas, and arrest and detain Trump and cancel the election. Because guess what? If there's going to be presidential immunity, and thus there are no circumstances in which any president is held to any account for breaking any law or betraying this country in any imaginable way, who would you rather have wielding those dictatorial powers, Joe Biden or Donald Trump? A declaration before the election that there is presidential immunity would literally, officially, end American representative government. It would make the president an absolute monarch. Instantly. That day. And he would have the entirety of the U.S. military behind him. And if the Supreme Court rules that on June 30th, we will be put in that oldest of binds. Would you rather be the person going to the prison camps? Or would you rather be the person sending other people to the prison camps? And sorry, I'll choose being the person sending somebody else to the prison camp every single goddamned time, especially if I know that my dictator is going to be the proverbial benign one who would restore democracy as soon as possible. As fantastical as it is just to speak out loud these crazy, nightmarish things, they are this serious. The Supreme Court ruling that there is presidential immunity would be that earth-shattering, instantly. Lady or the tiger, fight or flight, eat or be eaten. Eat or be eaten. Let me see the menu, please. And what are the specials today? And that, of course, is why the point of the Supreme Court hearing the presidential immunity case, why the point of Trump bringing the presidential immunity case, is to have it heard and debated and drawn out and drag on and continue indefinitely and ultimately to fizzle out just late enough that it eliminates the Trump election subversion trial and presumably eliminates the Trump espionage and documents trial. Like, that one needs more stalling than already being provided by Judge Cannon. Now, there is one remaining ultimate nightmare scenario, and I suspect that even Trump and his Supreme Court will not try this one, because just to put this structure into place almost guarantees that if Trump loses the election, he will instead die in prison. Will, W-I-L-L, capital letters. No backup plan. If the gambit here is to send the case back to Chutkan for review and a presidential immunity quiz and then return it to the Supreme Court for final approval and drag out that final approval until after the election so that in late January, the court could then say, hey, guess what? There is presidential immunity and Trump's president. So guess who gets to see that ultimate power menu now? If that is the ultimate play for the ultimate power for Trump, it would blow up irretrievably in Trump's face if he didn't win the election. Because then there are only two scenarios. If the Supreme Court actually delays a ruling until late January, or just late November, and the ruling is there is no presidential immunity and Biden has been reelected, Trump might as well confess he's finished. But if the court delays the ruling until after Biden is reelected and the ruling is, yes, there is presidential immunity, well, Trump can say, see, you can't convict me. I was immune while I was president, whereupon Biden could say, cool, you ain't president now, I am, and sitting presidents are immune, so my attorney general is suspending your habeas corpus rights, boy. And my FBI is imprisoning your ass, and good luck to any judges who try to stop my government because I'm immune. So the point of having a presidential immunity case go to the Supreme Court was and is to have a presidential immunity case go to the Supreme Court and waste all this time. Not to create a new law that is suggested by approximately nothing in the Constitution, nor in anything in 248 years of American case law, but just to stall and to, by the way, keep the unheard testimony about Trump's coup plans and what he was doing on January 6th, the testimony from Mark Meadows and Dan Scavino and others, the stuff Liz Cheney wrote about in the New York Times, saying it was vital evidence that her January 6th committee could not get, to make sure that unheard testimony remains unheard, especially before the election. But the ultimate point of this tawdry, corrupt, partisan, anti-democracy delay by Trump's fellow conspirators on the Supreme Court is that the tawdry, the corrupt, the partisan, and the anti-democracy all win merely by delay. And they already have their delay. They have their win. It is now just a question of whether these Supreme Court injustices give them a second delay as protection. Let's run a couple of other headlines. The Arizona election interference fake electors indictments came out near close of business yesterday. 18 Trump allies accused of trying to keep Biden from legally becoming president. Trump is an unindicted co-conspirator, which would seem cowardly. But again, if you're indicting him now at the end of April, what's the rush? If he's elected, you cannot prosecute him. If he's not elected, you got plenty of time. Or more likely, you'd just be hanging around as backup, ready to prosecute just in case all the other prosecutions failed. Take a number. Arizona, you're number 38. Among those indicted, all of the fake electors and Giuliani and Mark Meadows, maybe Ken Chesbro, two experts I rely on, disagree. One says he is, one says he's not. Mike Roman, the guy who tried to screw up the Georgia case. John Eastman. Boris Epstein. Two very interesting names. Christina Bob. And Jenna Ellis. And I'm going to bet on Jenna Ellis turning state's evidence in Arizona. And perhaps most satisfyingly of all, the former Arizona Republican chair who tried to sue everybody after the 2020 election and presented no evidence that Trump had actually won and got laughed out of court, Kelly Ward, the chemtrail lady, she's been indicted too. Speaker of the House Johnson went to Columbia yesterday and got shouted down by the student protesters. So he and Tom Cotton and Josh Hawley now say they want the National Guard called in. Okay, you do that. You order the Democratic president or the Democratic governor of New York or the Democratic mayor of New York to call in the National Guard to clear out a liberal university in New York. They'll get right back to you. Now, maybe the mayor will. That's a reason that he's at 16% approval. I appreciate the seriousness of the protests. I have not devoted any time to them here. Why not? Harvard Kennedy School study, voters aged 18 to 29, done in English and Spanish. Which national issue concerns you the most? Various economic issues, inflation, gas prices, taxes, 27%. Environment and climate change, 6%. Abortion rights, 6%. Gun rights and the Second Amendment, 3%. Israel and Palestine, 2%. I don't plug stuff from CNN, but read Annie Grayer and Melanie Zanona on their website about James Comer suddenly trying to find an emergency exit from the impeachment disaster. Suddenly, for some reason, he wants out. In fact, he wants out of Congress so he can run for governor again. Which is when we found out about his college girlfriend and him allegedly beating her up and threatening her life. Quoting the story, Comer is hoping Jesus comes so he can get out. One of the GOP lawmakers who spoke to Comer told CNN, he is fed up. He is fed up? Is that he, Comer, or Jesus? Help me, non-impeachment Jesus! And your daily reminder, as I say endlessly, that democracy is preserved not by the efforts of those of us trying to save it, but by the stupidity of those trying to destroy it. Jesse Waters, who started at Fox as the guy who stalked women reporters that his boss, Bill O'Reilly, didn't like. Jesse Waters is perhaps the dumbest person in America. Don't worry, Trump loyalists, he insisted yesterday. Trump will get out of it. Just like King Kong got out of it.
And they caught him. They trapped him in a cage. We call it a courtroom, but it's a cage. I mean, they're acting like it's like a zoo creature. And what happens with King Kong? You remember? Boom! It's not going to be good. So he's going to bust out of this cage eventually. They're not going to be able to keep him down.
They kill King Kong.
He took a white woman on top of a building, and it was frowned upon in the 40s.
I don't think I saw the end of that movie.
And, of course, I'll add the postscript. Not only did they kill King Kong, and then he fell from the top of the Empire State Building to his death. Hey, Jesse, it's your Trump analogy, not mine. But in 1972 or so, the great cartoonist B. Kleiben added a postscript that really makes the Jesse Waters King Kong Trump imagery work for me. In this cartoon, Kleiben's got two guys eating hamburgers at a New York automat or a greasy, busy lunch counter. One man, still wearing his hat and coat, has taken clearly one bite of his hamburger. And after the first bite, he is staring at his burger as if some great, horrible truth has just become clear to him. Kleiben's caption? Question. What did the city of New York do with King Kong? He'll get out of it. He's like King Kong. Look out below! Splat. Also of interest here, I said Jesse Waters might be the dumbest person in America. Then again, maybe not so long as Cornel West is around. Trump, Cornel West says, is a fascist. That's why he, Cornel West, will beat Trump and become president. Wait till Dr. West finds out who is out there actively soliciting the signatures to get him on the state presidential ballots. How about the head of early voting for the Trump campaign? That's next. This is Countdown.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix. Terminix can't help you run for office or take on the country's biggest problems, but they can help you solve one of the peskiest problems at home, pests. You know, the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, even the termites in the walls. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control. Their expertly trained technicians may not know intricate political strategy, but they know their local pest pressures. And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good. Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere. So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it, Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com to book online today.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
still ahead of us on this edition of Countdown. So, the Supreme Court. Ever been there? Ever been there on a date? I don't mean the Supreme Court bar and grill. I mean the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court. You ever sat in Clarence Thomas's chair? You ever gotten a free RV because some fascist just assumed that if you were sitting at the Supreme Court in Clarence Thomas's chair, you should get a free RV or something else? I have experienced all but the latter. My date at the Supreme Court. Ahead in Things I Promised Not to Tell. First, still more new idiots to talk about. The daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. The bronze, worse, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Comedian and singer and dog activist Elaine Boozler has sung the national anthem there at 5 Dodgers games over the years. She has played in the Dodgers' annual Hollywood Stars softball game 10 times and done other volunteer activities involving the team since the 1980s. And Sunday, the Dodgers got her arrested. Boozler, whose bit about how if you sing the anthem, the echo from the public address system at the ballpark comes back to you seemingly 45 seconds later, is a classic. Boozler was taking some of her family to the Dodgers-Mets game Sunday and bringing her baseball bag with her, basically a 10-inch purse. As she went through the security screening at Dodger Stadium, they told her she could not bring that bag into the ballpark because it was not clear. It was not see-through. She pointed out that it didn't say at anywhere on her ticket or at the Dodgers' official secondary market ticket site or anywhere else that you could only have see-through, clear bags, and that her bag was absolutely okay to bring into a bunch of other big league ballparks that she'd been to. And they said, you'll have to take it back to your car or throw it away or you can't come in. And she said, back to the car? We just paid $50 to park the car a mile away and it's 80 degrees. And then they told her the rules were there to prevent terrorism and that if she didn't cooperate, they would arrest her. And she said, sure. And then she gave it up and apologized repeatedly for the trouble, even apologizing to the Dodger security clown who was making the scene. And he said there was no way they were going to let her into the game. And then they arrested her. Arrested her for trespassing. Trespassing while she had her Dodger tickets in her hand. They cuffed her. They cuffed her behind her back. They then handcuffed her to a bench for a couple of hours. They threatened to have her taken downtown and booked. Sergeants, take her downtown and book her. Sergeant, take her down. Sergeant, book her. If she didn't just leave. So after being handcuffed with welts and swollen wrists, she cut her losses and left. In addition to this, as Elaine Boozler noted, somebody with just a little power always wants to exercise it. There's a larger issue. Since 9/11, baseball and the other sports leagues have employed draconian screening processes that you don't even go through at airports. And for nearly a quarter of a century, they have gotten away with insisting they are doing so to prevent terrorism. There has never been an act of terrorism inside a stadium at an American League sporting event. So why the security theater at Dodger Stadium and other places? Why the, you must have a clear bag? It's so the Dodgers can be certain you are not sneaking something into their stadium, something more dangerous to sports franchises than any terrorist attack that might be attempted by a 71-year-old comedian with a baseball purse. The teams demand clear bags so they can be sure you are not bringing in good food or booze. You can bring in, at Dodger Stadium, up to 1 liter of water or tea or some food in a small clear plastic bag. That's it. Because if you could bring in other food or drink, you wouldn't have to buy the Dodgers' $7 hot dog or their 16-ounce beer that costs $16. A dollar an ounce for a beer at the ballpark. Elaine had the final word on it, of course. Now she knows why Dodger fans always notoriously arrive late. They are all delayed because all the women have to take their bags back to the car first. The silver, worser, Shane Vaughn, a racist MAGA, quote, pastor, unquote, Now, the last we had heard from this nutjob Vaughn was when he reported that God had told him in no uncertain terms that Kevin McCarthy would be ousted as Speaker of the House and replaced by Jim Jordan. He explained that happening, or not happening, he explained, you know, God being wrong, by revealing that the actual new Speaker, Mike Johnson, was in fact Jim Jordan, just a duplicate of Jim Jordan. Now, Pastor Vaughn of Waveland, Mississippi, who is nuts, has broadened out a little bit to stark racism. He pretended he was not calling Joy Reid from MSNBC a racist name. Listen carefully to him say it anyway. It may be difficult to hear, maybe not. It sounds kind of like Bugs Bunny, only it ain't Bugs.
Now, y'all got to watch this little, I got to watch my mouth here, because when I talk about, I can talk about anybody unless they black. Okay. Y'all got to watch this. Don't call it no Jungle Bunny. Let's see. Y'all got to watch this. Let's go with the wig. How about that? Y'all watch this blonde wig head. Y'all got to watch this. Now, I can't talk about them like that because I get in trouble. Let me see. You can talk about anybody in the world. But anyway, they can talk about me all day long. They can call me. Look, they can still frame my face where, you know, like, you know, I can do anything you want to a white man.
I would point out that if you've never seen him, Pastor Vaughn has hair that comes down over most of where his forehead should be. And it immediately made him look like, to me, it made me think of one person and one person alone, James Brown, the Godfather of Soul. Other critics have suggested that Mr. Vaughn may in fact belong to some of the group he so loudly hates, but I'm not going to go that far. I'll just say, regardless of race, creed, color, or orientation, he's clearly MAGA, and that is universal. They all suck. But our winner, the worst, Dr. Cornel West, third-party presidential candidate. I believe his party is the Help Trump Get Elected Anyway and Then Express Shock and Outrage That Trump Got Elected Party. Dr. West, who I must add is another former professional friend who used to address me as Brother Olbermann, gave a fulsome interview with the Washington Post the other day in which he explained that Trump is a fascist and Jill Stein is no longer his friend. He voted for her before. And Kennedy is evidence-free, and Biden is unacceptable. And the reporter never asked him what he's going to do if he draws away enough support from Biden to get Trump elected. The Post instead gave Cornel West all the space he wanted to say things like, quote, both parties are beyond redemption, and I just see both of them as so thoroughly unacceptable. Which is saying you can't tell the difference between the two parties, which means you're a moron. But nowhere in this article is there anything about what his opinion would be of himself if he helps to get a guy elected who would first put Hispanics in concentration camps and then put African-Americans in concentration camps and then put intellectuals and liberals in concentration camps. The interview leaves the clear impression that Dr. West actually thinks he is going to be elected president, which is a second definition of insanity. The first one being you can't tell the difference between the Democrats and the fascists. But more importantly, the article never touches on the reality that right now, this minute, the Trump campaign is out there actively gathering signatures on Cornel West's behalf in order to get him on the ballot in as many states as possible to hurt Joe Biden as much as possible. And for once, the Trump campaign is not lying about it. It's doing so in hopes of taking a point or two away from President Biden on November 5th. And how do we know this? Scott Pressler, the very troubled QAnon guy with the shoulder-length hair, whom Lara Trump wanted to give a formal Republican National Committee title to, but didn't, but he's still working for the RNC. He says so, on the record, on tape. This is from the last Trump tour stop in North Carolina. I don't see any ambiguity here, Cornel West.
This helps take away votes from Joe Biden.
No way.
Yeah, he is the far-left Marxist.
Yeah.
That if we get him on the ballot, it could take a percentage point away from Joseph Biden.
Yeah, we're helping the Trump team is trying to get him on there.
So there you are, Dr. West. You're a stalking horse. You're a spoiler, you're a prop, you're a stooge, you're a useful Trump idiot, you're a Trump asset. You are, in effect, a fascist and a totalitarian. And the communists would throw you out. And if Trump is lucky and you keep helping him, you will realize all of this only when some Trump-beholden law enforcement official comes to arrest you and put you in the camp. where, just to make it worse, they'll put you in the same cell with me. And for as long as we are in there, I will keep repeating only one thing. I effing told you so. Cornel West, asshole, today's worst person in the world.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This episode is brought to you by Terminix. Terminix can't help you run for office or take on the country's biggest problems, but they can help you solve one of the peskiest problems at home, pests. You know, the ants in your kitchen, the roaches under your sink, even the termites in the walls. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. No matter what type of pest it is, they can Terminix it fast with personalized pest care that puts you in control. Their expertly trained technicians may not know intricate political strategy, but they know their local pest pressures. And with customized plans tailored to your specific situation, you get everything you need to not just get pests out, but keep them out for good. Between their speedy service, caring technicians, and over 95 years of experience, it's no mystery why they're trusted by homes and businesses everywhere. So if you have a pest problem, don't stress it, Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's TERMINIX.com to book online today. To the number one story on the countdown on my favorite topic, me and things I promised not to tell. So apparently it's Supreme Court Day. So why not? Of all the weird things I have ever experienced in what will soon be literally half a century of dating, maybe the idea that one of my dates had for where we should go on our first date remains the weirdest. Her idea? The Supreme Court. Where I sat in Clarence Thomas's seat. Unlike him, nobody paid me anything. I didn't try to subvert democracy. But the woman I was out on the date with, she explained how she had done plenty in that regard to subvert democracy. In fact, it was about this time of year, early May, late April of 1998, when I went on my second and last date with this person. She had been one of the originals at MSNBC. And by November of 1997, she had appeared on my first show there as a guest for the first time. She was paid to be there on the show, not on the date. And her name was Laura Ingraham. This began a process that ended in us going out on two dates. And something she told me on the first of these dates has resonated with me literally every month since and is relevant to politics today. I did not so much date her as survive her. Even then,
Before 9/11 helped to slide her cheese off her cracker, I find a diary entry referring to her as Hurricane Laura. That was March 15th, 1998. Beware the Ides of March, Julius Caesar. I didn't. Honestly, and God help me, nearly 48 years of dating, I have not been a kiss and teller. I have dated, I don't know, dozens, a couple of hundred, actually. 13, seriously. With maybe three exceptions, you don't know any of their names. One of them, now a political writer, basically lived with me for 3 years. I keep that confidence. So why am I telling this story, violating that? Because not 3 months after that first date, when we were still going out, Laura Ingraham asked me if she could look at a speech I was going to give at Cornell's graduation weekend and offer suggestions. This is so long ago, I literally faxed it to her. Sure enough, a couple days later, I'm watching Imus in the Morning, which was televised by my network, MSNBC, and there on his desk in front of him is the faxed copy of my speech, and he is reading from my fax. I could recognize the exact sequence of the vertical stripes my cheap fax machine used to streak all of my outgoing pages with. Laura used to go on his show a lot, so to curry favor with Imus, she sent him the speech without asking me. As I told her that day, all bets are now off. So I've told parts of this story before, like she had been a Supreme Court clerk for Clarence Thomas, and our first date consisted of taking me on an insider's tour of the court and having me sit in his chair. In tribute to him, I did not say or do anything constructive. She then cooked me the largest steak I had ever seen that did not have a rodeo cowboy riding on it, and we watched a woman, later discredited because she could not keep her stories straight, go on 60 Minutes and make allegations against Bill Clinton. "This is my perfect date," Laura told me. Seared into my memory. But the important Laura Ingraham story, sitting there in the middle of all the debris, I don't think I've ever told this. The first date was only about 6 weeks after the then First Lady, Hillary Clinton, got on the Today Show and blamed the, at best, exaggerated scandal about her husband and Monica Lewinsky on the, quote, vast right-wing conspiracy. "That is so stupid," Laura said that night as she showed me her small office upstairs. I expected that she was about to decry the idea that Republicans would exploit television, talk radio, and the brand new internet to try to bring down a president from the other party, and I said so, naive little boy that I was. "No, not that. Of course we're doing that." She was kind of offended that I doubted the conspiracy part. I explained I'd only been covering politics for 2 months. "At the end of the day," she said, "end of the day," constantly. "At the end of the day, it's the vast part. It's not vast. Vast right-wing conspiracy. Why, I bet there's not even 30 of us." Laura Ingraham then explained that she was essentially the central desk for what she called the miniature right-wing conspiracy. She showed me a printed page that had the fax numbers of about 24 people. "There at the top are the sources," she said. "There was Ted Olson, the attorney, founder of the so-called Arkansas Project and the husband of Barbara Olson, a constant presence as a talking head on cable news. She later died on 9/11. Everybody liked her. There were several numbers in the office of independent counsel Ken Starr. One of them read B. Kavanaugh. I said, "Who's that?" She said, "Nobody important." The only other name I remember was Spencer Abraham, who then was a senator from Michigan. She said they, including the people in Ken Starr's office, sent her all the rumors, the ideas, stuff about Clinton, stuff they made up, and she distributed them to the other parts of the list. That's these numbers. One number was marked Hannity Radio, another Hannity TV, O'Reilly Radio, O'Reilly TV. There was one for Limbaugh. There was one marked Justice Thomas, and I pointed to it. "He likes to stay informed." Now, maybe the most important name's not on that list. That's Matt Drudge. She said Matt Drudge used all of her stuff, but he didn't want any of it to be traceable. Very big on not traceable. "So I never fax it to him," she said. "I just give it to my brother." This is when she still liked her brother. "He sees Drudge all the time. He gives the stuff to Drudge. Now, over here is my baseball collection. See, there were reasons to go out with her. At the time, I could think only of an old cartoon I had once seen. It was an octopus working in the post office, using all eight of its limbs to sort the mail. But every couple of weeks, it dawns on me afresh that I was actually a witness to one of the earliest configurations of the machinery. And there is no doubt today whether it is vast or miniature. It's vast. The machinery that links the right-wing politicians and those who are supposed to be above the fray, like Supreme Court justices and special prosecutors and people like that there, with the right-wing publicity outlets that pretend to be news organizations, like Fox and Drudge and OAN and Newsmax, and the ones that don't even pretend, like those who succeeded Limbaugh. This machine is, in fact, everything that your typical paranoid, conservative, Republican, fascist, Trumpist thinks is being run by George Soros or Bill Gates or Dr. Fauci or me. You want to be able to say there are reports or accusations about some Democrat or liberal figure or celebrity? Well, somebody puts a rumor in at one end of the machinery, or somebody makes up a rumor at one end of the machinery. It is then sent to dozens of other people. They repeat it. Voila. Suddenly there are reports. The reports then get fed back to Fox News or Breitbart or the Wall Street Journal or the Supreme Court. Or they're just tweeted by 1,000 bots simultaneously. You want to push this ancient racist anti-Semitic paranoia called the Great Replacement, but you want it to come out washed clean enough that soulless opportunists like Elise Stefanik and J.D. Vance can say it aloud on the campaign trail without forfeiting their candidacies? This is the machinery. And I saw the machinery when it was just a list of 20 and 30 people. And at that moment, I barely recognized the importance of what I saw. Then again, I was still on that night recovering from not just the giant steak, but something far more visceral. Earlier that day, as we were leaving the Supreme Court, Laura Ingraham had boasted about getting even with an ex-boyfriend by going back into what had been their house and putting up exact copies of all the photos of the two of them together that he had taken down from his walls. And when he got smart and changed the locks, she went back again to finish the job, found her key didn't work. So, naturally, as you would, she stuffed his garden hose through the mail slot of his front door and turned on the outdoor spigot. $10,000 worth of hardwood floors ruined, she said proudly. And part of me screamed, flee. Flee now. I didn't flee. Later, as I tried to sleep, two noises kept me awake. Snoring, not my own, and Laura's dog. Laura's dog kept talking in his sleep. I mean, almost in syllables. Like that. It was something like 25 degrees out, and I was on the second floor, and yet I resolved that if her dog really did make that last leap to formulate actual syllables, and it turned out her dog was the one telling her what to do, I was simply going to leave by the window without bothering to open it first. The next morning, Laura and I walked her dog. We got to an empty field. She threw a tennis ball. He went and got it. She cocked her arm back again. He took off. Loving life as he did, she did not throw it. He went 40, 50, 60 feet, then stopped and looked back at her with such disappointment and even a sense of betrayal. And she said loudly, without a trace of affection for him or anything else, wait for it. Which is when I realized I was being courted to be the next dog. A few weeks later, back home in New York, I got home from working an early morning shift, filling in for the commentator Paul Harvey at ABC Radio. I was just waking up from a tortured nap when the phone rang. It's Laura. I'm downstairs. We're going to my old law firm's party at the museum. I said I was exhausted. We're going. or I'll just stay here at this payphone outside your place calling you all night. We went. The next opportunity probably was going to be me on the wrong end of a hostage drama. Turned out she was not invited to her party. We're crashing it. I'm going to drink heavily. Frankly, it was a great party. I got to meet Hillary Clinton's mother and her brother. And if you think the fascists are completely sincere about everything, even their neuroses and their paranoia, no. Laura Ingraham hugged Hillary Clinton's mother and Hillary Clinton's brother. They seem to be friends. Later, we wound up meeting friends of her in the Oak Bar at the Plaza Hotel where she kept drinking. I was astonished. After about her sixth Cosmopolitan, on top of everything she'd had at the party, she began to droop, her head nodding like a bobblehead doll. Her friend said, "Okay, that's it. We'll take care of the check. You take care of her." She had not gotten a hotel room or anything. And if you've ever heard of anybody who needed to be poured into a cab because they were so drunk, you don't really know what that means until you have to pour them into a cab. Frankly, I wanted to put her in a hotel somewhere, but the spectacle would have made the gossip pages. She basically could not stand up. So I took her to my apartment, put her into my bed, and I went and slept on the couch at the far end of the apartment, which is where I was hours later in the morning when she woke me up because she came parading through using my phone to call my assistant to get a car sent to my address to take her to the airport and to make sure that everybody in my office knew she had stayed overnight at my apartment. And all I kept thinking was, why didn't I follow my instincts? My instincts said flee. I fleed not. Of course, if I had fled, I would have missed seeing the telephone tree of the miniature right-wing conspiracy, wouldn't I? I've done all the damage I can do here. Thank you for listening. Yes, sometimes in the middle of a cold night at home, summer, winter, fall, spring, I will awake, my heart doing 700 beats a minute, because I've had a dream in which I have a third date scheduled with Laura Ingraham. You may scream, but they'll never hear you over the sound of her voice. Countdown musical directors Brian Ray and John Philip Chanel arranged, produced, and performed most of our music. Mr. Ray was on the guitars, bass, and drums. Mr. Chanel handled orchestration and keyboards, produced by TKO Brothers. Other music, including some of the Beethoven compositions, arranged and performed by the group No Horns Allowed. The sports music is the Ulverman theme from ESPN2, written by Mitch Warren Davis, courtesy of ESPN Inc. Our satirical and pithy musical comments are from Nancy Faust, the best baseball stadium organist ever. Our announcer today was Tony Kornheiser, and everything else was pretty much my fault. That's Countdown for this, the 195th day until the 2024 presidential election and the 1,206th day since Defendant J. Trump's first attempted coup against the democratically elected government of the United States. Use the 14th Amendment. Use the only thing the Supreme Court will give us, the not regularly given elector objection option. Use the Insurrection Act. Use the justice system, use the mental health system to stop him from doing it again while we still can. The next scheduled countdown is tomorrow. Bulletins as the news warrants. Till then, I'm Keith Olbermann. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and good luck.
And he's like King Kong.
Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Dealing with pests can be a pain, but relax, Terminix can help. Because when pests show up, so does Terminix. With over 95 years of experience, they have what it takes to take on any pest problem fast. If your home or business has pests, don't stress it. Terminix it. Visit Terminix.com to book your appointment online today. That's T-E-R-M-I-N-I-X.com.